We just remain standing for a moment, please. I want to pray for healing this morning. And how many of you have an ailment, a physical need of healing this morning? Lift those hands up. You need God to touch your body this morning, be it physical, be it mentally. Just keep those hands raised. I believe that God wants to meet you at your point of faith this morning. I believe that by His stripes, we are healed. You know, we have been celebrating the journey that Mary has been on. She just finished radiation and been in the house of the Lord faithfully declaring the goodness of the Lord. But with everyone with their hands raised, Father, I just thank you that you are a miracle working God. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. God, for every back that needs to come into alignment, for every knee, for every shoulder, God, whatever the ailment is this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would heal them by your stripes. Lord, we stand on your word. God, we cry out to you. Father, people have been hindered from doing that which you've called them to do because their body hurts, because of the ailment that they're facing. So heal them now. God, I pray that they would experience a touch from you. And Lord, for those dealing with mental pain, mental struggles, God, anxiety, depression, insomnia, thoughts that are not from you, God, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would even touch their mind right now. Lord, I pray that even as those thoughts seek to come in the middle of the night, we bind that in the name of Jesus. And I speak freedom over every single mind. I speak healing in every single body in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, everyone said, everyone said, amen. Awesome. There is healing power in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. There is healing power in the name of Jesus. And isn't it? It's got nothing to do with my sermon this morning. But it comes at the most inconvenient time. It's like you go to step out in faith, and then all of a sudden, you go to move forward in an area, and all of a sudden, I want to tell you, you have authority in the name of Jesus. And if we prayed over something today, and that's you, would you testify with us if God heals you, when God heals you? Let us know. Just say, hey, you know what? I stepped out in faith this morning and I said, God, heal me. And then keep praying and keep believing. One of the many things I love about my husband is that in 2019, he was hospitalized with sepsis of the blood. You know what? And he continues to contend for his healing because our experience is subject to the Word of God. The Word of God does not bend to our experience. There have been so many doctrines created out of experience that were not subject to Scripture, but we bend and we bow to the Word of God, not to our experience. So declare your healing, pray for your healing, speak life over your own body. If you're in a small group and in a community group, why don't you text them and just say, hey, I have this ailment. Would you stand with me in prayer? And I want you to know, for those of you who are seeking breakthrough mentally, there is no condemnation and there's no judgment in this church. We will gather with you and we will pray and we will seek God's favor and blessing and healing over your life until you walk in the freedom that we know that He has for you. Amen? Let me pray. Father, I thank you that your word is alive. God, as we've worshiped you and we've entered into your presence, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've already moved on people's hearts. As we've prayed and declared healing in this house, I thank you that you are already moving on people's behalf. And as we declare your word, as we preach your word this morning, may it not return void, but may it accomplish everything it's set out to do. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. It is your name that is lifted high in this church. It is a joy to serve you. It is a joy to know you. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you're been traveling over the summer, welcome back. We have been preaching this last month about counting the cost. And Pastor Mark has just preached three incredible words about counting the cost. And I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of them, they're on YouTube and you can watch them. They are available for you. But as a way of a recap, in the first week, He talked about how sometimes we get so busy trying to pay a price for that which God has already paid that we don't actually count the cost. Or we get so busy and so overwhelmed trying to overcome something that God has already overcome for us. Church, the price has been paid. It was paid by Jesus Christ. Our opportunity is to surrender to that, to walk in that, and to be obedient to it. And then the second week, if you guys remember, we were in the Renaissance Hotel. I don't know, Mark said that was like an upgrade, first class, but looking how many people are choosing the sides, I'm not sure. You know, I think our seats are still better than the Renaissance seats. But he said something profound. When it comes to counting the cost, you can look at it in the natural. You can look at what's in front of you, and those facts could become more important than what God has to say. Or you can choose faith over those facts. And I loved how he said, the facts are always subject to faith. And then last week, when he was talking about when it comes to counting the cost and talking about generosity, he said this, generosity is an amount that can be inspired by need, motivated by love, but determined by faith. And as we talk about the building, as we count the cost, I pray that it's inspired by need. Is there a need for the building? Yep. But it's exciting. Is it motivated by love? Absolutely. I love our church. I want to see our church move forward in all that God has for it. But ultimately, it has to be determined by faith. And so this week, as we enter into our fourth week about counting the cost, today's about counting the cost of discipleship. Counting the cost of discipleship. Our key text is found in Luke 14. And I'm going to read 9 verses, but split it up, because it's in these 9 verses that Jesus actually brings 3 examples of what it means to be his disciple. If you don't have your Bibles, the scripture will be on the screen for you. But can I encourage you, bring your own Bible. Get into the habit of bringing scripture to church with you wherever you go. And if you don't have a Bible, we actually do have some at our Info Next Steps table for you. But Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to be starting in verse 25. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus saying? He's not saying hate, because what is the thing that he's told us to do is to love. But what he is saying is, don't love your family and your own life more than me. It's a hyperbole, the word. It's like, love less than. And so to be a disciple of Christ, it means that I would love Jesus more than I would my own family. I would love Jesus more than my own life. Moving down to verse 27. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, it means that I love him more than I do my own family and my own life. If I want to be a disciple of Jesus, it means that I'm going to carry my own cross. He doesn't ask me to carry Mark's cross. I was never graced and equipped to carry the cross that Mark is meant to. He doesn't ask you to carry the cross of the person next to you. He asks you to carry your cross. Because he created you for a purpose and he knows exactly what he's asked you to do. And then verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began the building and wasn't able to finish. Hence the wisdom of the board, we're going to do this in 2 phases, because we've sat down, we've counted the cost, we've looked at it and gone, oh my goodness, to prepare this building for our kids ministry and our Sunday attendance is a lot. But if we break it down, we can start occupying the building, start to use the building, start to be the Monday through Saturday that we have an absence for since we are no longer having the ministry center. We counted the cost. And he goes on to say, or suppose a king who's about to go to war against another king, won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Obviously, 300 hadn't been written and the movie wasn't out yet when Jesus said this. If he had not been able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. And then he closes with this verse. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. A disciple of Christ gives up everything. Jesus is talking to a large crowd and they're following him and he's talking about discipleship. There is a cost to discipleship. What was the first one? If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you need to love him more than you do your own family. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to carry your own cross. And if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to be willing to give up everything. Church, he's not soft-selling discipleship. He's not sugarcoating it. You know, sometimes I think the messages that he had to his disciples would be more intense, but this is to a large crowd. And at no point in this text does he water it down. At no point in this text does he go, I'm going to make it a little easy for you because you're not those that have been walking closely with me. But he does not. He in no way sugarcoats this. He's not going, oh, here's a cheap grace just for you. Oh, there's no hidden agenda here. There's no sales pitch. It's almost as if to this large crowd, he's intentionally making it as hard as possible. Why would Jesus do that? Because the cost of not being a disciple of Christ is way higher than the cost of being a disciple. If we don't pay the price to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, I want you to know that that cost is way, way higher than anything Jesus is asking us in this text. It's true. Being a disciple of Jesus is going to cost you everything. But if you don't pay that price now, this side of eternity, the price in eternity is way, way higher. But my key point for today is not that there's a lot to pay. It's not that, oh my goodness, this is going to cost me everything. But rather, it's a price worth paying and one that we do so willingly. Because the joy and the strength that we have to do what Jesus asks comes from our intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I want to dig a little bit more into what does it mean to carry our cross. Do you know, in first century, in the Jewish context to which Jesus is telling this story, for them, carrying a cross wasn't a metaphor. It wasn't even poetic. It didn't even rhyme. It was literally a death sentence. It would be a condemned person who would carry that cross beam on their back to their execution site. And so when Jesus is telling this large crowd, not even his close friends, not even his disciples, but this large group of people, hey, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be a student, a follower of me, then you're going to have to carry your cross. And they would have understood it as an image of surrender, as an image of sacrifice, and even one of shame. But it meant being willing to die to self, to follow him, no matter the cost. Even Jesus carried his own cross. And often we think about crucifixion just in light of what Jesus did. But in that first century Jewish context, that is how they would execute people. And Jesus took on the sin of the world as he carried the cross and died and rose again. And the awesome thing is he's returning for us. The story doesn't just end with his crucifixion. We celebrate his resurrection, but it doesn't end there because he is returning for his bride. But even him carried his own cross to the point he no longer could. Do you know who it was that came and helped him carry his cross? It's a man named Simon. Isn't it a beautiful picture that, hey, I'm having a hard time carrying my own cross right now? That when you're part of a faith community, when you're part of a local church community, that there would be a group of people that would gather alongside and go, you know what? I know you're struggling. This cross is not for me to carry, but I will help you for this next season. I will help you for these next few months. I will help you while you're seeking your breakthrough, while you're seeking your healing. I will come alongside you and I will help you. Because that is the beauty of the church. That is the beauty of a local faith community. And that's why we talk confidently about being planted in the church. so that people can see you, so people can know you, and so that people can help you. Amen. Jesus is saying, you want to be my disciple? You got to be ready to die to your own life, to your own will, to your comfort, to your rights. And not just do it once, but to do it daily. But there is a joy to carrying the cross. There is a joy to discipleship. Have you ever heard the statement, this is just my cross to bear? This is just my cross to bear. And normally we talk about it in reference to the Prius driver going slow in the fast lane. It's just my cross to bear that these Prius drivers do not know that they could actually. It's just my cross to bear that my neighbor is going for the Guinness World Record of how long they can have their leaf blower going on a Saturday. I'm like, seriously, there are no more leaves for you. It's just my cross to bear that I have noisy neighbors. Oh, it's just my cross to bear that they always park outside the front of my house. We make my cross to bear minor inconveniences. At the end of the day, Priuses can drive slow in the fast lane if they want. Just not in Australia, because if you go slow actually in the left lane, then you do get ticketed, just so you know. How many drive Prius? No, don't. Do not put up your hand. I love Prius drivers. They are amazing. But my cross to bear is not a statement that I make because of a minor inconvenience that I'm facing. I might be dealing with a sore knee. My sore knee is not my cross to bear. I might be dealing with some financial issues, but that's not my cross to bear. Because when Jesus talked about carrying our cross, he did so in the context of it's costing you everything. Do you know why I'm talking about the joy associated with the cost? Because it is a beautiful surrender. It is a beautiful exchange. And the surrender and the exchange is beautiful because it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. No wonder the devil has worked so hard to keep the Holy Spirit out of the local church. So that when we talk about carrying a cross, it becomes a burden, it becomes a weight, it becomes such a heavy thing. Because you were never meant to carry that on your own. You're meant to carry it empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's a joy and it's beautiful because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and strengthens us to say, not my will, but your will be done. It is impossible for you and I to live out the will and the purpose of God if we don't actually surrender to the Holy Spirit. May I encourage you that if your cross has become a burden, if it's become about rules and regulations, if it's become about a legalistic pathway to righteousness, then would you surrender back to the intimacy of the Holy Spirit and say, I can't do this in my own strength. And in fact, I don't want to. I want to do it with the power that is given to me by the Holy Spirit. Draw closer to him. Because it is him that gives us both the desire and the power to carry our cross, to carry it with joy, so that people go, they don't look at Christianity and go, oh my goodness, it's about suffering. You go, no, but I suffer with joy. It's the hardest thing to explain. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews 12, verse 2. My favorite passage of scripture. You probably heard me say this multiple times when I preach. Fixing our eyes on who? Fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. What did he do? He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our own example, Jesus Christ. So we get to fix our eyes on him. And what did he do? With the joy set before him, he endured the cross. If you're trying to be a disciple of Christ, if you're trying to count the cost when it comes to discipleship, if you're trying to carry your own cross without the joy, it's going to become really hard. It's going to become really difficult. We need to put the joy before us. And what is the joy before us? It is a life honoring Christ. What is the joy before us? It is that our community know Jesus. What is the joy set before us is that I would open up my home to a group of people and I would walk faithfully with them so that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ, so that they may then in turn disciple others who disciple others who disciple others. Church, that is the joy set before us. And so when Esther and Henry come knocking on your door and go, hey, I think it would be great to lead a discipleship group in our church, may the joy of what it means to disciple be in front of you, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Mark shared last week how the building for us, we counted the cost. And the decision that we made in order to give sacrificially to the building was that we weren't going to take a vacation this year. Now, we'll take some time off, but we're not going to go anywhere. And do you know, that's a joyful thing for us to do. It's not a burdensome thing. I don't feel like I have to compare myself to any other family in this church. I'm like, it is a joy to go, you know what? I see our building. I see it renovated. I see people getting saved there. I see revival in our youth ministry. I see it. That is a joy set before me. So when I sacrifice a vacation that you have to recover from anyway, right, parents? It's true. If you don't have kids yet, it's coming. But you know what? It's a joy. Last night, Mark said, it's still a joy to bump in and bump out after all these years, because I don't take it for granted, because when I unload that truck at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I put the chairs out, it is a joy because I know someone's going to sit in the seat. I know someone's going to hear the gospel. I know someone might just get healed. I know someone's going to encounter Jesus in worship. What is the joy in front of you? If all you can see is the pain, if all you can see is the cost, it's time to be intimate with the Holy Spirit again. Holy Spirit, would you show me the joy that is set before us? My own son, for the last 4 years, gets up every Sunday morning with his dad, 5:30, and unloads that truck. You don't do that unless it is the strength and the joy that can only come from the Holy Spirit. Church, I pray that you and I do not mismanage the moments that we prayed for. We prayed for the salvation of our friends. So let's not mismanage that. We've prayed for a building. Let's not mismanage that. We have prayed for breakthrough in the East Bay. Then let's not mismanage that. How do I not mismanage that? I count the cost for discipleship. It is a joy and not a burden. Joy is a strength. And in our pre-service meeting this morning, this is the scripture that kept coming up. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. What had just happened? Ezra had spent the time just reading the scripture, had just been reading the word of God, and the people were weeping. And Nehemiah gets up and he goes, hey, hang on a minute. This day is actually holy to the Lord. Yes, there might be pain. Yes, there might be moments of sadness and grief. But he's like, hang on a minute. We don't actually have to grieve because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Is the joy of the Lord your strength this morning? When you look at the cross, when you look at the cost, when you look at everything that is in front of you, I pray that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. Strength to do what? To be a disciple of Christ. Strength to do what? To put Jesus above my family. That's not an easy thing to do. I don't know if you've got unsaved friends and family, they always put things on Sundays. And you're like, oh, hang on a minute. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be there at 12 o'clock. I'm going to get there as soon as I can, but I'm not going to prioritize the things of this world over me being in the house of the Lord. I'm going to get there. I can do both. I might just be a little bit late. The strength to do what? To carry your own cross. The strength to do what? To give up everything. The joy of the Lord is your strength for you and I to be a disciple of Christ. Happiness might be determined by circumstances. I remember when I prayed and believed God that there would be a check in the mail to know that He was in this building season. And when I got there, there was a check in the mail. Do you know how happy I was? I was really happy. Do you know that there hasn't been a check since? I haven't been so happy going to our mailbox lately. But happiness, it can be circumstantial, right? But joy is not, because it's not in of yourself. You don't produce the joy and the strength that comes from the intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Let's lean in. Let's not look for the temporary fix, but let's look for the eternal strength. Because 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we still want to be singing the name of Jesus. We still want to be worshiping Him. We don't ever want to get to the point where I go, this cost is too high. I can't pay this price anymore, because eternity is at stake. May we always surrender to the Holy Spirit so that we may be filled with a joy that can only come from Him. Counting the cost to be a disciple of Jesus means you can't be half in. Can't be half in. It's not 1 foot in, I'm a Christian on a Sunday, but then look out Monday, because here I come. The cost of being a true and genuine disciple of Jesus is I can't be half in. And when I choose to follow Him, then the cross and the surrender of my life comes with it. But for the spirit-filled believer, for those of us who love the Holy Spirit, the surrender is not a burden. I do so with joy and the strength that He provides. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, carrying my cross is a sacrifice I choose for Christ. So it never becomes a burden I'm stuck with, something that I have to live with. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, carrying my cross is a sacrifice I willingly choose for Christ. So it never becomes something I'm stuck with, something that I just have to live with. This is my cross to bear. As a disciple of Christ, we die with Him, so we live fully through Him. What does it mean at the end of the day to be a disciple of Christ? It means I die with Him. I allow my flesh to be crucified so that I can live fully through Him. I'm going to invite Pablo to come up as I close with this thought. I can carry my cross. I can count the cost. I can be a disciple of Christ because of the Holy Spirit. I can't carry this on my own. There are burdens that you and I are trying to carry that the Lord never asked you to carry. There are things you're trying to overcome in your own strength, and He never asked you to overcome it in your own strength. I go back to Pastor Mark's first message on this. Stop trying to overcome that which Jesus has already overcome for you. Walk in the freedom, walk in the fullness of what He has for you. Let there be a joy to being a disciple. Let there be a joy to carrying your cross. It was never meant to be something that you're stuck with and a burden that you have to bear. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to Jesus, all of us who are feeling weary, and He will give us rest. You've been trying to find rest in the natural things. You're trying to medicate happiness. You're looking at everywhere other than just coming to Jesus. It is as we come to Him that we find rest for our souls. It is as we come to Him that we take on His burden and His yoke. You're not meant to do this without Him. If you don't yet know Jesus, I want to encourage you to surrender your life to Jesus. And I'm just going to ask everyone just to close their eyes. I don't know all of you. I don't know your story. I don't know where you're at with Jesus. But I want to encourage you that if you've grown distant from Him, then come back into a relationship with Christ. If you've never surrendered ownership of your life, then today on the 24th of August, would be the day to surrender ownership to your life. And while everyone's got their eyes closed and their heads bowed, giving everyone a moment of privacy, if that's you, if you say, Ellie, would you pray that prayer? I need to invite Jesus into my heart. I need to either begin that relationship or come back into a relationship with him. Would you just lift your hand? I will see it and I will pray for you. One of the greatest things that we do is we surrender ownership of our life to Jesus. There is no shame, but unbelievable joy in this moment. I want to get my life right with Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. I'm going to pray this prayer and I'm going to ask you to pray it in faith with me. If not for salvation this week, then it's for someone's salvation next week. Everyone in a loud voice, dear Jesus, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are Lord. Forgive me of my sins and help me to live every day in a way that pleases you. And now, church, for those of you who don't have a joy in being a disciple of Christ anymore, you don't have a joy in serving him, you don't have a joy in following him, it's become a lot about your burden to carry. It's become a lot about the hard times, the hardships. Maybe you've been believing for a breakthrough and you haven't yet seen it, and the joy is gone. Would you lift your hand? Because I would like to pray over you this morning for your joy. Lift them up. I'm seeing them. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand up. It's an act of faith that says, you know what? That's me. So Father, I just speak the joy of the Lord to be their strength. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you give them wisdom. You give them insight. You give them discernment. I pray even, Lord, that they would grow closer to you, Holy Spirit. Help them to understand what it means to live a spirit-filled life, what it means to live a life empowered by you, Holy Spirit. I pray now even that there would be just a strong burden on their heart, Lord God, to seek you in a way like they never have before. God, to seek you early in the morning, to seek you late at night. Holy Spirit, flood their heart even now. Return unto them the joy. I speak the joy of the Lord. I speak the strength of the Lord into your spirit and into your heart, that as you worship him, as you sing songs, your heart is flooded and overwhelmed, not with sadness, not with grief, but with the joy of the Lord. Father, as we step more strategically into discipleship as a church this season, Lord, I pray that you would speak to the heart of your people, to the hearts of your children. Lord, that we're not just Sunday attendees. We're not just people who come to church on a Sunday. God, but we are actively involved in discipleship making. God, I thank you for the strategy to be sustainable and scalable here at Exchange. I thank you, Lord, that we're walking into a season where we willingly pay the price, willingly pay the cost of discipleship. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're even speaking to people about their yes, about their response, about their willingness. In your name we pray, amen.
Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.